Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Have you seen this bumper sticker? It says, "It's not that I'm old," and then it goes on, "Your music really does suck." Now, if you found yourself saying or even thinking that lately, then you run the risk of becoming a GB. That is, a generationally biased listener. This malady has been recently identified by Wall Street Journal critic Jim Fusilli, who also offers a cure for it in his new book called Catching Up, Celebrating 21st Century Music. It brings Jim Fusilli back to Soundcheck. Hey, Jim.
Hello, John. How are you?
So, GBs.
Yeah, I just needed a way to identify these people because, and I'm sure this happens to you and many of your listeners also, you go to a party or in our case, you might hear from a reader or a listener and they'll just say, "I hate today's music." And then you say, "Well, tell me who you hate."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They say, "Well, I don't listen. Yeah. I heard the best music in my youth. And I don't need to hear anything."
But hasn't it always been this way? Hasn't the best music always been the music when you were 16?
Well, there is, and I write about this in Catching Up, there is actually a psychological reason for that. It's called the reminiscence bump. And apparently there's some biological and biochemical connection to our favorite music of our youth when we started to blossom. But I think what changes today is the ready availability of all music from the beginning of recorded music history. And whereas in the past the recording industry controlled what we listened to in ways that it's, when someone my age looks back, it's kind of hard to believe how limited we were in the amount of music that we were given. Now you just have everything and there's really no excuse not to listen.
Mm-hmm. Except that it's too many choices. It's overwhelming. So you don't listen. So you just stick to what you know.
Correct. And the industry, as you know, plays into that.
So why doesn't this happen in reverse? I mean, why does the younger generation love its music, but they also love Led Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones and the late, great David Bowie? I mean, why doesn't it happen that way?
Well, I always joke that somebody raised these kids right by making them so access so many music. I do think music was shared differently by me with my daughter, for example, than my father shared his music with me. My father sort of lectured me that I had to like this kind of music, and all the music I liked was ridiculous.
Right.
And I don't think people my age did that with their children. But also, I think there are fewer silos. They're in pop, there's silos. In cartoon country, there's silos. But I think for most people, there's just young people, it's just a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if they like it, they stay with it. If they don't, they move on.
So because you and I, grew up with an industry very much regulating how and what we heard, and younger people have everything, we're in all these silos, as you put it. We are genre driven and the kids less so.
Yes.
Okay.
But also, John, not only did they limit what we listened to, they also told us always that it was good.
Sure.
You know, this is also another problem you have. When you say to somebody who is a GB, "You know, that really wasn't that good," they will almost repeat marketing messages from 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I think, and again, another quip, you know, the morning after Woodstock, the recording industry got in the Star Chamber and said, "You know, we can sell these people anything. They'll lay in the mud for 3 days, and they think they've had a spiritual experience." There's some truth to that, you know.
Yeah.
We were just told that all of this stuff was great, and if we loved it, we would be part of the now, and we would be culturally correct, and we'd be in fashion, and we'd be, you know, important to the future of America.
Right. So they were essentially inventing FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Correct.
Way before that ever became a thing, which now it is. So I guess, you know, one of the interesting things about your book, Catching Up, is you offer us all of this 21st century music. Some of it is barely 21st century, you know. Some of it is just like the year 2000, but correct. All right. Of things that GBs, that generationally biased older listeners, might actually like. And some of them, some of these artists, are in fact people like Robert Plant, of course, from Led Zeppelin. So, you know, many older listeners grew up with Robert Plant. And so is it your thinking that they're not even aware of what he's doing now, that a record like Raising Sand with Alison Krauss is just not on their radar?
I would, yes, I think that people who love Led Zeppelin are in some ways offended by Robert's independence. I mean, I think Robert has made extraordinary music in the latter part of his career.
I thought the last record he did was brilliant.
Terrific. And I mean, Raising Sand, it's just a great album. If you go, if you think Robert Plant, Led Zeppelin, you're going to be disappointed by Robert Plant, the full-blown artist who's willing to deconstruct his catalog.
So how do you get the listener from that to this?
Well, I picked 50 albums, and not quite at random. They're not the 50 best albums of the, but they give a sort of breadth of what's been going on. In the case of Raising Sand, for example, it makes the case that it's just great music. You don't have to be part of a clique to enjoy it. Mm. You're not going to derive, at age 60, 70, 55, 45, you're not going to derive your identity from listening to Raising Sand. You're going to be able to just take it for what it is, which is a great album.
Which is two incredible voices blending so beautifully, as on this song called Please Read the Letter.
Please read the letter. I wrote it in my sleep with help and consultation from the angels of the deep. Beside the well of many words, my house is full of rings and charms and pretty birds. Please understand me, my walls came falling down.
Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, Please Read the Letter, is from their album Raising Sand, which is one of the 50 albums in Jim Fusilli's new book called Catching Up, Celebrating Great 21st Century Music, which basically is a primer on how to enjoy contemporary music if you haven't been into it, haven't been listening to it. And Jim, it seems like your book is based on two assumptions. One is music is as good now as it's ever been, which I won't ask you to defend, otherwise why do you and I do what we do? The other is it's not your fault if you don't know that.
Yes, this is and this became more apparent to me as I was investigating doing this book. You know, I'd hear from readers who'd say, you know, I'd write an article about a band that not many people know who don't follow music closely, and they'd say, okay, I believe you, sounds great, now what do? My record store's gone. My radio station's gone. I try to read Rolling Stone, but it doesn't really work for me. I don't know about this streaming stuff, and I would feel really weird if I went to a concert where there were people my kids' age. So what should I do? And I started thinking about it, and I started to realize that it was incumbent upon the industry to tell people what to do. Here's an audience of people who once loved music, invested in it, went to shows, bought albums, bought T-shirts, identified with it. And then, you know, life takes people mm-hmm. in other directions. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say the mortgage is just about paid for, the career has peaked, the kids are off at college, there's some money in the pocket, they want to get back into music.
What college did your kids go to that there's still money in the pocket?
So where is the person to greet these people and say, come on?
Right.
What does the industry do? They give you Rod Stewart sings, Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Right.
You know, maybe if Mavis Staples records with Jeff Tweedy, There's some marketing at a grown-up audience. But in general, new music is not marketed to grown-ups.
On the other hand, some of the bigger figures are kind of unavoidable. I mean, you have Jay-Z's The Blueprint in here. I think my own parents know who Jay-Z is.
Yeah, and they may know who Jay-Z is and they may know who Kanye is, but do they know his music?
No.
And what I try to do in Catching Up is contextualize it as music. You know, we don't deal with them as celebrities.
Mm-hmm. The way you explain The Blueprint is to tell us, well, you know, this Jackson 5 song is the basis for this tune by Jay-Z, et cetera. So there is an entrance point for you. And if we listen to a little bit of Jay-Z's The Blueprint, the song Izzo, you know, we hear a lot of kind of wordplay and stuff. And while it might seem a world away from, I don't know, Dylan, that idea of wordplay and internal rhyming schemes and the rhythm of the text seems to me like, you know, it on some level might be an entrance point.
Yeah, if you want to get in, you can get in.
H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. Push his zoom, my nizzle used to dribble down in VA. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. That's the anthem, get your damn hands up. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. Not guilty, y'all got to feel me. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. That's the anthem, get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture, to let them know what it look like when a in a roaster. Show them how to move in a room full of vultures. Industry shady, you need to be taken over. Label owners hate me, I'm raising the status quo up. I'm overcharging for what they did to the cold crush. Pay us like you owe us for all the years that you us. We can talk, but money talk, so talk more bucks. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. Push your zoom, my nizzle used to dribble down in VA. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. That's the anthem, get your damn hands up. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. Not guilty.
Izzo from Jay-Z's album The Blueprint, which is one of the records in Jim Fusilli's book Catching Up, celebrating great 21st century music, a book aimed at perhaps 20th century listeners, I guess we'll say, who need a kind of a guide, a Virgil, to take them through the thicket of contemporary music. It's funny listening, you know, to The Blueprint, or I started this segment with a little bit of Jay Dilla from the album Donuts, which is also in your book, Jim. You know, this is music based on, literally built on, snippets of older music. Things that listeners might be familiar with. Then you have people like Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings making music now that could have been made 30 or 40 years ago that you would think a generation earlier would have no trouble accessing.
100 days, 100 nights, to know a man's heart.
Could take a bunch of music fans who sort of dropped out, let's say in the early 80s, and introduce them to Jack White and the Black Keys and Sharon Jones and Gary Clark Jr. and Laura Marling, and they'd be perfectly at home with them. To me, that's kind of step one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you, once you start moving them a little bit away from that into sounds that didn't exist back then, if you go about it the right way, if you don't, you know, well, I mean, do people still teach people how to swim by throwing them into the ocean?
I don't think so.
I hope not. But, you know, there's a way to get there.
Yeah. So the further you can get people to move, I've found, the wider the vista you can bring them to. And if you can get people who grew up on the Stones or Zeppelin or whatever to listen to Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings or Jay-Z, maybe then it's not so outlandish to hope that you might get them to listen to a kora player from Mali playing with a cellist from France.
Right.
And you put this album in your book, and I was delighted to see it because it was a personal favorite of mine when it came out, Chamber Music by Balake Sissoko and Vincent Segal. Right. This is a beautiful record.
It really is. And, I mean, you do have to be open to it. But, I mean, one of the beauties of it is almost immediately accessible. You know, I mean, these are two superb players, yes, but also superb communicators. Mm-hmm. And you can tap into the emotion of the music early on. Now, again, going back to what you said earlier, you have got to be open to the experience. You can't say, look, I love Neil Young, so I'm not going to listen to these guys. You know, God bless you. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a world out there that you're denying yourself.
Well, and if you say, I like Neil Young, well, what do you mean? Do you mean, I like Neil Young singer-songwriter? I like Neil Young hard rocker with Crazy Horse? I like Neil Young the electronic music artist? You know, I mean, to say I like Neil Young can mean that you like a broad array of sounds.
It can. But I would argue that we have locked in our minds an image of various rock figures from the, you know, again, going back to Bowie, the fact that Bowie confounded our mm-hmm. idea of what an image was. You know, there are people who like a certain period of Bruce Springsteen and reject all other parts mm-hmm. of his career. You know, take Joni Mitchell, for example. There are people who just, you know, they're not interested in what she did after Blue, let's say. It's going to be very hard to work with these people. You know, but
they're the ones you need to be working with, right?
Yeah, well, what I finally decided is that there are some GBs who you're never going to get to. And I want to be clear that, you know, a GB is not a person who likes old music. I mean, I think we both love old music.
Sure.
It's the person who rejects new music without listening to it. Mm-hmm. Because who is harmed in addition to them? People who might think they know what they're talking about.
Mm.
And also, young musicians are hurt. You know, do you know any young musician who would say, look, if you're over 50, don't come to my show?
Right.
You know, nobody's saying that.
Nobody says that. Because they want to look out in the audience and see David Byrne there. Because there's a guy over 50 who still goes out and listens to all the young bands that are
correct.
Starting. So Balake Sissoko, Vincent Segal, they did this record called Chamber Music. As you say, it's kora and cello, it's acoustic, it's accessible. There are no words, so there's no language barrier. On the other hand, we listen differently to instrumental music. That's another thing that neuroscience has shown us. But take a listen and see what you think. It's called Mama FC. It's a song from the Malian kora player Balake Sissoko. The kora is a kind of harp from West Africa. And Vincent Segal, French cellist, who actually, Jim, got his start in a trip-hop band as opposed to like a string quartet or something. So this is from their album Chamber Music, which is one of the 50 albums in Jim's book called Catching Up, Celebrating Great 21st Century Music. So we've been talking, Jim, about, you know, ways to access contemporary music for people who've maybe not been paying that close of attention in recent years. And it strikes me that back in the 60s, there was a real break when the rock era began. You know, there was a real kind of seismic shift between the music before and after rock. Could you have written a book like this for our parents' generation?
You know, John, I'm not sure. My dad was very open to music. I grew up in Hoboken, you know, with Frank Sinatra, and he listened to a lot of. He listened to Basie, he listened to Ellington, he loved Ella Fitzgerald, he loved Billie Holiday. But you know, when the Rolling Stones were on Ed Sullivan, that was not for him.
Right.
And even if you were to take him backwards and say, you know, the Stones liked Howling Wolf, here's blues, here's a blues by Ella Fitzgerald. Do you see some commonality? That conversation would not have occurred.
Yeah, yeah.
And much to my regret.
But the generations that have come of age after the 60s, you should be able to talk across those decades.
Yeah, I mean, I let's take the music of Sinatra, which I love.
Yeah.
But there is something.
I want to say I do too, but I had to grow to love it because that was my parents' music.
Correct.
That was not my music as
Correct.
A kid.
And I was going to say it is generational. Whereas I don't find that in the Beatles' music, for example. I don't think it is of a particular time.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half.
A song or two might be locked in a certain period, but by and large, it's kind of much more accessible and available to anybody. You don't have to be anybody to like the Beatles' music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Sinatra and big band music. You know, you had to be a certain type of person to have that music before you.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
You know, it's the difference between a rock show and a jazz show sometimes, too.
Yeah. So how, I don't know if this was at all in your mind when putting the book together, but, you know, for the current generation, is there a cautionary tale here? How do you avoid becoming a GB, a generationally biased listener?
Yeah, and I think it's unlikely to happen because of the sort of democratic viewpoint they have in music. If you go to a festival like Bonnaroo or Lollapalooza, and if the band doesn't have it, they just pack up their blanket and move on to the next band. And by the end of the weekend, they've heard 30 sets and they're very happy. And it could be Paul McCartney, and it could be a band that this is their first festival. Being judgmental about music doesn't really help anyone. Is Jay-Z going to be around when he's 70? Maybe. You know, will one day some of the younger artists in this book or some of the people we mentioned earlier still be making, will Laura Marling be great in 2036?
Said to the wall,
said to the wall,
when you've broken your only doll, and what will you do with a girl?
I would bet yes, but there's no advantage to just locking in to one music from one period. And the example I use all the time that people find to be funny, but is exactly true, is that if you had put on Dylan's early albums and said, "Where are the clarinets?" I only like music that has clarinets.
Yeah.
You know, Benny Goodman's my guy. Artie Shore's my guy. Where's the clarinets? You hear that all the time from rock fans. You know, electronic drums, not for me. Mm-hmm. I want Ginger Baker wailing away. You know, where is the guitar solo? Radiohead has three guitar players, but none of them solo? No thanks. You know, you got to get out of your silo.
Yeah. Well, a good way to start is with Jim Fusilli's book. It's called Catching Up, Celebrating Great 21st Century Music. It is out now. Jim, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, John.
Soundcheck is a production of WNYC in New York. Find out more about our show at soundcheck.org or just download the new WNYC mobile app. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.